Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
Today is a really, really important day. You know, we're on 6 days of lockdown and who knows what's coming. What an incredible 2020 we are going through, and it still hasn't finished. As these outbreaks take place, as I looked at all the lines lining up for the testing stations in Adelaide, how incredible. Right around the world, this pandemic is wreaking havoc. And I've got a word for you today that I believe God wants to speak into your life. Whether you're watching from Clare Valley, or from our Paradise campus, from our city campus, from the south, from Salisbury, or from Mount Barker, this word is for you. And it's great to be able to come into your home and share with you, I believe, a life-giving word at this very crucial moment. While I was fasting and praying just a few weeks ago, God began to talk to me about the level of our faith. And here's my question to you. You know, I don't know if you've ever read the book by Robert Kiyosaki, a very famous writer who wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he tells the story in this bestseller about his own dad who thought a certain way and was poor, and he compares it to his best friend's dad who was rich, and he writes this great epic bestseller called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It got me thinking about this idea. You know, what's the difference between a rich person and a poor person? What's the difference between someone who is super wealthy and someone who's poor? Now, of course, the first answer you're going to come up with is that they have more money, that the rich person has more money, and that's true. And you might say, well, they have more possessions. All of that's true. But the most important thing I want you to understand is this, is that the rich person has more options than the poor person. The poor person really is poor because of their lack of options. So if things don't go well with the one option they are pursuing, they've got nowhere to go. Whereas the rich person, if things don't work, they've got another option, then another option. And wealth is really determined by options. And that's why we say as Australians that we are a rich country. Why? Because compared to other countries in the third world, we have options. And so I want to talk to you today about what James wrote in chapter 2 of his epistle about this. And this is what it says in James 2. It says, listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich? I want you to listen to that word. To be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he has promised those who love him. So here's James saying that it's God's purpose that you be rich in faith, not on the breadline, not even in the middle class, certainly not in bankruptcy of faith, but to be rich in faith. And as we come into the end of the year, as we prepare ourselves to 2021, God wants you to enter the new year rich in faith, not struggling in faith, not in the chapter 11 level of faith, not in a struggle street in faith, but rich in faith. It is God's purpose that you become a millionaire in faith, maybe a billionaire and a gazillionaire in faith. James lays it out very strongly and very clearly. And I want to talk to you about that today. And it's really interesting because when you look at the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God operates similarly to any kingdom that you find on earth. And that is, it has a currency. In America, it's the greenback, the US dollar. In Australia, we have the best currency in the world. It's the nicest looking currency. It's the most handsome currency. But you know what? I can take that currency, those gold notes and those green notes and those blue notes, and I can take the currency of Australia and try to buy things in America, and they refuse me. And they just can't believe it as an Aussie. Why would you refuse Australian dollars? Well, it's because the currency of this kingdom in America does not recognize the currency of Australia. In the same way, American currency is not recognized in Australia as a legal form of transactions. You can't go to Coles or Woolies and buy your groceries using American dollars. They're going to say, well, yeah, we kind of know what it is, but you're not going to use it. Heaven is the same. The kingdom of heaven is exactly the same. It has a currency that allows you to transact, to get what you need. And here's the big question. Why is it, from what you hear out of the Word of God, and you see God's grace and His abundance and all the work Jesus did on the cross and all of what He died for, our sickness, our sin, our troubles, our fears, our strife, our family issues, and yet when we compare that with how our life really is, there's a gap. What is that gap? Well, let me explain it to you. It's this. Grace is like God opening a giant store and putting everything you need for life in it. And He says, this is yours. I put this aside for you. Jesus died to make grace, God's supply and power and help and healing and health available to you. And you're like, wow, that's so wonderful. Then He says, listen, the way that you're going to get access to that is through this key, through this currency called faith. So faith is the currency of heaven, the currency of the kingdom of heaven, by which you get access to all of the things that God has laid aside for you. Now, when James says you can be rich in faith, he's also saying you can be poor in faith, because if you can be rich, you can be poor. Remember the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. That means your faith can increase and your faith can decrease. Right through the scriptures, Jesus would say two statements over and over again. O ye of little faith, often talking to His disciples, and He'd say to other people like the Syrophoenician woman who comes, who's not even allowed to receive from Jesus according to what Jesus said, I've come to the lost house of Israel, and she's an outsider. And she says, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. And she's making a statement that even though I'm an outsider, I know that if I push in, you'll respond. And Jesus said, I haven't found faith. Your faith is great. Go your way. Your daughter's been made well. So we can see that you can be rich in faith. You can be poor in faith. You can also increase in faith. You can decrease in faith. And you can have little faith or you can have large faith. It's really important to understand it. And I want to talk to you today about your journey to become rich in faith. Because the richer you are in faith, the more options you have to solve the problems supernaturally that are occurring in your life. And I just believe in this season where fear wants to grab people, where fear is rampant across the world, anxiety at all-time levels of excess, that it's time for us to be filled with faith and not to be living on the breadline of faith and not to be living just even in the lower middle class of faith, but to be rich, to be super rich in faith. That is the currency by which supernatural things happen. You need to be rich in faith. You know, the word rich in the Greek is the word plousios, and this is what it means in Strong's Concordance. It means to properly and fully be resourced, to be filled by having God's muchness. I love that. It's a great word, muchness. His abundance that comes from receiving His provisions, material and spiritual riches through faith. So my question is then, why are so many people, so many Christians, so poor in faith? Maybe you're listening today and you find yourself not in the upper echelons of being rich in faith. You're not strong in faith. Your faith isn't big and strong. It's little. It's not growing like it should, or it may have diminished. You might have once believed and yet find it a struggle right now to believe. Wherever you are, God wants you to become rich in faith, and yet for so many Christians, their experience is that they have a poverty of faith. How can you tell a Christian that's poor in faith? Are you ready? How can you tell? When they're cynical. You can tell they're poor in faith when they're critical. All these things are a sign, they're a diagnosis of the levels of faith in your spiritual bank account. When your bank account of faith is low, you become negative. You become critical. You become suspicious. You may even turn your back on God. You get disconnected. You stay at home rather than go to church, except for today, of course. Fearful, right? You start to find yourself anxious. You find yourself challenged, angry. Why? Because you've become poor in faith. Whereas people that are rich in faith are generous. They're forgiving. In fact, when Jesus said about your faith growing and about forgiveness, the apostles turned and said, Lord, increase our faith. You have to be full of faith, rich in faith, in order to be forgiving. Think about this. Our God, who was rich in mercy, who is rich, became poor for our sakes so that we could become rich in faith. God's purpose for you is for you to be rich, because then you speak kindly, then you're generous, then you're forgiving. You don't spread gossip. How can you tell someone who's poor in faith? They're gossiping. They want to hear about other people's misfortunes, and they want to create the stories because it makes them feel better about their own spiritual poverty. That's why we need to be rich in faith. You know, people that are rich in faith just want to share their faith with others. It's the way it works when you're rich. You know, I've talked to some people recently here in America, and to my shock, as they've opened up and shared their heart, they've talked about going back into the world. Some people who you'd think are mature have talked about just going back to the pagan things they used to do before Jesus came into their life. That tells me that there's a problem. There's a faith vacuum. There's a poverty of faith. They're on the borderline of bankruptcy. You know, it's an amazing thing. So who would choose to be poor in faith? Why would you be poor in the currency of miracles? Why would any one of us choose to be poor in the area of breakthroughs, answers to prayer? Because Jesus came to make you a billionaire in faith. And faith is the currency that you need to acquire all that your heart needs to live a victorious life. Grace has been given. Faith is the key. Now, you know, you can pray, but without faith, nothing happens. Because there are billions of people around the world praying today, but they're not getting answers to prayer. Why? Because it's not prayer that changes things. It's the prayer of faith that changes things. You know, you can fast, but without faith, you just lose weight. So it's good for your body, but it doesn't make you rich in faith. You know, you need to ask God for miracles. You know what? But without faith, nothing actually happens. You can be a great religious, disciplined Christ follower, at least religious on the outside, but without faith, you aren't saved. You can't be saved without faith, and the Bible tells us that we can't even please God without faith. God's not happy, and here's the thing that we need to understand. God does not respond to our begging. He doesn't respond to our crying. He doesn't respond to our stamping of our feet or our anger. God only responds to faith. Jesus was always talking about people's faith. Now, does God care as a father about our tears, about our pain, about what we're going through? Of course, He responds with comfort, but He doesn't respond with answers, because the key to the storehouse of grace is faith. And you know what? Faith is not just a personal belief system. You know, our world has dumbed it down. So if I believe in hugging trees, well, that's my faith. If I believe in some other crazy thing, that's faith. But that's not the faith of the Bible. We use this word to describe anybody's belief in anything, but the Bible kind of faith is the key and the currency to God's storehouse. And if you don't understand that, you won't be able to grow rich in faith. Knowing that you need to be rich in faith helps you to devise how. And I'm going to talk to you about how. It's one of the reasons why we encourage you to come to church. Why is that? Because the Bible says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the context of Romans 10 is about preaching. Paul is writing about someone going and declaring and preaching to people that don't know God, and he says that's how faith comes. That means as you're sitting today listening to my words, I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is filling your bank account full of faith. God is filling your life because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the preaching of God's word. So God is filling your bank account full of faith through the words that I speak, that he anoints, that deposits into you the ability to believe. That's a reason we need to be in church every week. Why? Not just at any church, but a life-giving church. Why? Because that's how faith is deposited. God gives faith to us when we listen to his word. And Jesus came to make you rich. Now, how many people believe that Bill Gates has more money than you, therefore he's got more options? Well, when you're rich in faith, you have more options. You see, when things come against you, you don't buckle. You don't back down. What you do is stand up and you push through. You break through because you are rich in faith. When you're poor in faith, it cripples you. You fold like a cheap suit. You're just not able to cope with what's going on. You see, Jesus was constantly saying, your faith healed you. Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. I haven't seen such faith in all of Israel. You know, it's a real and definable substance. We're going to look at the book of Hebrews and understand what this substance is today. You see, we're not commended for being holy, being humble, or being good. We're commended for our faith. And Jesus says that it starts like a seed. Remember Luke 17, Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea. Why did Jesus use a seed to talk about faith? Very simply, because seeds have the potential to grow. So God's looking at where you're at, and he's saying you only need a small seed. Today's message might be that seed for you. But it can grow into a tree. When you see the seed, you know the tree's coming. And faith is like that. It can grow. It can also be stolen. Remember the birds of the air. It says in Matthew 13, came and stole the word of faith from people and renders them without producing any fruit. We've got to beat away the birds of prey that want to steal the seed. You see, I remember when I lived in Gillis Plains, and I remember putting a lawn down, and of course we were newly married, didn't have enough money to get all the squares of grass and really just put out down instant lawn. We had to get those squares and pull them into tiny little pieces and plant them in our lawn, in our dirt. And I remember doing that one day, and then getting up the next morning, I was so proud of my efforts, and I looked out the window, and would you believe it, there were blackbirds swooping down, eating the seed, picking up the tuft of grass and just chucking it away, and had all these tufts of grass that are on there upside down, and the seeds have been taken. So I remember going out and trying to put those things back in the ground. Then I had to devise a system to keep the birds away. I had alfoil going across the garden. I had lines. I even did a scarecrow to try to keep the birds away from my lawn, from my seed, my seedlings. You know, there's a story in Genesis 15 that talks about Abraham, where God comes to Abraham and says, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. He said, but how can I know, says Abraham. And so God goes through a transactional covenant moment with Abraham, and Abraham prepares a sacrifice, and God's about to come and seal the deal. But as he's preparing the sacrifice, the Bible tells us in Genesis 15 that birds of prey came down on the sacrifice. What did Abraham do? He didn't let them take this moment away. He beat away the birds of prey. You see, God wants to deposit, and he's depositing today. But by lunchtime, you may have already forgotten, because the enemy has stolen the seed of faith that's meant to be the down payment of this bank account that's meant to become rich, full, overflowing, so that you can live extraordinarily, so you can live on top, so you can live with power in your life. So, as we come and we draw near to a week of prayer and fasting, which is just coming up soon, can I just say to you, give you an inspirational thought about how do we become rich in faith, because there is a formula in the Word of God that's so clear but so often overlooked or not understood. How do you get more faith? If faith is the currency we need, how do I get more of it? I need more. I don't know about you, but I have big things in the kingdom that I want to acquire. Big things require big faith. Small things require small faith. Just like going shopping. That car costs more than buying an orange. Why? Big things cost big. Little things cost little. So if you're just happy with survival, you just need little faith. But if you want to do big exploits for God, you're going to need big faith, and you need to become rich in faith. And it's God's purpose, God's desire, God's plan for you that you are rich. Oh, I'm excited. I'll tell you something. I have had my life turned upside down and another level added since I saw that my goal is to be rich. My goal is to be rich. I want to be so rich in faith that I can give it away. I can deposit things into other lives. I can buy things for the kingdom that the kingdom needs. I can get access to all that grace. But how do we get it? Well, we just heard that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's one way. We don't have time to go through all the things. But there are things that are what I call faith stealers, and there are things that are faith healers. And I want to talk to you about the essential ingredient that you need to understand out of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is a book about the tension of people who are becoming poor in faith, and the writer was encouraging them to become rich in faith. And so the whole book of Hebrews, if you understand that, you'll read it better. And so it starts off telling us, hey, as they're thinking about leaving Jesus to go back to being religious, the writer tells them, hey, Jesus is better than all your heroes. He's better than Joshua, better than Moses, better than Aaron, better than all the people you hold in high esteem. And then we read and start reading about, you know, holding on to our confidence. But we can't hold on to our confidence, which has a good reward, unless we understand Hebrews 10 and what's required, spurring one another on, being at church, hearing God's word. Then we get to the great hero chapter of faith, chapter 11, and verse 6, plonked right in the middle of this book and this chapter on faith, says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't even please God without faith. So good works don't please God. Crying doesn't please God. Begging doesn't please God. Being a good person doesn't please God. Only faith. And without it, you cannot please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Now the word exists means exists for me. Not just exists and I believe there's a God, but I believe God sent Jesus to die for me. I'm a recipient of grace. But then it goes on and gives us a clue. And must believe that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. The thing I've always wondered about, never understood until a few years ago, was what is the reward? Those that diligently seek Him get a reward. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What is that reward? And it just dawned on me. One day the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and I realized the context. You see, I used to think that the reward was just something general. Oh, God's going to bless me. God's going to do something good for me. And I assumed it was just general good things. But we're talking about a context in which faith is being discussed. It's a book about faith. It's the chapter of the galleries of heroes of faith. And in the middle of that chapter in verse 6, he says He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So guess what God rewards you for if you diligently seek Him? And this adds greater impetus to why we need to get up and pray in the morning, why we need to read our Bible in the morning, why we need to be in church in the morning. Here it is. What does God reward us with? He rewards us with faith. So when we pursue Him, we may have a bank balance with a few thousand dollars of faith in it. And God says, you've pursued after me. You've gone after me. You've not cared about coronavirus and COVID-19 and all those things. You've just chased after me because the antidote to the fear of the pandemic is greater faith. So you might be struggling, maybe fearful, maybe feeling anxious. That's a sign that you are depleted in the area of faith. So you need to go to him. If you seek him earnestly, he promises to reward you with more faith. What do I need? I don't just need more of anything else. I need more faith, because with more faith, I have more currency. And with more currency, I can do more in the supernatural. I can see changes take place. Hebrews 11 is saying that if you diligently seek God, he will reward you with more faith. I don't know about you, but I need more faith. Why? Because there are more things that my life needs to count for. There are more things I need to get from God to help my life be one that is a great example to the world. I need more faith because there are big obstacles that I've got to break through. You see, the question is, what do you need that requires faith? Is it freedom from fear? Is it freedom from anxiety? Is it a job? Is it sickness? Today, the Bible says that faith comes by seeking Jesus with all of your heart. It adds another reason to get up and pray. You know, I don't just get up and pray because I love God. I don't just get up and pray because I need stuff. I get up and pray because it adds faith to my bank account. It adds faith every single day. And I need to accumulate faith till I'm rich in faith. No longer poor in faith. It's not God's purpose for you to be poor in faith. It's not God's purpose for you to struggle in your faith. It's God's purpose that you be so rich that you can be generous. You can get what you need because you have a lot of faith. You know what? God doesn't just give us what we pray for. He gives us what we need to get what we pray for. This is how God works. I've got a good storehouse for you. I provided all this stuff by my grace. It's all for you. It's free. But you can't get in the door and you can't get what you need without faith. Faith is the key. Sometimes you say, God, fix the problem. God says, no, I'm going to give you faith so that you can supernaturally fix the problem. Can you see how that works? Often we come as a beggar. God, you've got to help me. You've got to rescue me. And God says, listen, I'm going to give you something that's going to help you fix the problem. In other words, I'm going to give you the key to unlock the door. You imagine if you were stuck on the roof of a house and there's floods everywhere and you say, God, help me. Well, God doesn't just suddenly miraculously pick you off that roof. He sends you a boat. He gives you the key. Right? The boat takes you to where you need to go. That's how God works. So don't ask God all the time for stuff. Ask God for the key to the stuff. Stop asking God, fix this problem. Ask God to give you faith so that you can fix all those problems. And the richer you are in faith, the more problems you can fix. It's incredible. You know what? If you need counseling, faith gives you access to God's wisdom. If you need pain medicine because you're hurting, faith gives you access to the comforter and Dr. Jesus. If you need a tranquilizer to calm you down, faith gives you access to the Prince of Peace. Remember, faith gives you access to all that you need. You know, some of us, we just feel helpless. We have situations that seem impossible, problems that are intransient, that just won't shift. And maybe you focus on the problem instead of the answer to the problem. I want to pray for you today, because if you understand that the currency of miracles is faith, then you'll pray, God, increase my faith. God, I'm going to start doing the activities that produce faith. I'm going to listen to this message from Pastor Ashley again and again till I understand it. I'm going to make sure I'm in fellowship with other believers. I'm connected and listening to God's word, because that produces faith in me. I'm going to get up in the morning and pray, because then God deposits faith. What I've got to do is become so fixated on getting faith and becoming rich in faith. Because God has a great destiny for you. This COVID-19 can't stop you. This whole pandemic can't stop us. We are pushing through, and God wants to do something powerful and miraculous in your life. We're about to go into a time of fasting. Use this time of fasting. Because if prayer, let's use an example. If prayer adds $100 a day to my bank balance of faith, when I fast and pray, it's like God gives me $1,000 a day towards my bank account of faith. That's why I fast. Why? Because it accelerates the bank account of faith. You need more faith to do more. That's what Jesus commented on. And today I want to pray for you. No matter what you're facing, God wants the deposit. In fact, as you've been sitting here, God has been putting into your heart faith. Can you believe that? All you've been doing is listening. And God's been putting into your heart faith, depositing seeds of faith, putting inside your life the ability to believe. So we're going to join our faith right now. And I'm going to pray for you, whatever it is. If you've got sickness, put your hand on that part of your body. If you've got problems in your family, get that loved one and put your arm around them. Or put your hand on a picture or a photo of a child. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to start. This is like the seeding of your bank balance of faith. Today begins the growth upwards. For some of us that are already wealthy in faith, God wants to take you over the top. He wants you to be so rich in faith that you're a blessing to everybody around about you. We're going to pray right now. And maybe you're in this place, and maybe you're listening, and you've never invited Jesus into your heart. I tell you what, the first deposit of faith that God wants to do is that when you invite Him into your life, He puts faith inside of you to believe, to know that He is your provider, your protector, your purpose creator. He is incredible. So we're going to pray right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person, Lord, that they would have an understanding today that they need to be rich in faith, that it's your purpose that they grow the wealth account of their life, to be wealthy in faith, that options will come, new resources will come their way, that breakthrough will take place. And I speak over sickness today. I thank you, Lord, as we combine our faith with the faith that's been deposited today. I pray, oh God, for people to be healed right now. I pray, Almighty God, for situations that are so problematic and difficult, that solutions would come in these next 2 days. And I pray that every one of us, Lord, today in Influencers Church would grow in our faith so that we can reach a world that's destitute, that's desperate and in need of answers. It comes from us through the power of the Holy Spirit putting faith in our lives to share. We declare it in your mighty name. Amen. I want to tell you something. Something's happened to somebody today. Receive it in Jesus' name and keep adding to it. Keep growing in your faith.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, "I will take their place." So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.